Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Launchpad, is this a stunt you learned in flight school?
Flight school?
You mean you never took flying lessons?
Well, I took a crash course.
Now he tells me.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast. This is episode 289. This is a special episode because I needed something to fill this, and what was going to be in this spot can't be in this spot because, sadly, the guest that I was going to get is currently unavailable. But I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and I'm doing this kind of backwards, and I'm doing this with a purpose. We all love the year 1989, right? The year, not the Taylor Swift album. Thank you very much. And, but that's not when the Disney afternoon started. So you're going to hear these episodes kind of backwards. Joining me is someone who has talked to far more voice actors and celebrities than I ever have. God damn it. And it is none other than Mr. Saturday Morning Rewind himself, Tim Nidell. Hello, sir.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm glad I can be your plan B for this episode. I'm honored.
Well, you're not. I mean, the Tooncast origins that you're going to go through next week was always going to be, that was always the plan. I just had something else in for this, and I was like, oh, crap.
Nope, I get it. I'm honored to finally be on the show.
Fine. Have you never been on there?
I think maybe like 9 or 8 years ago. Maybe.
I don't remember. I know I was on your show for the Joe Oleski tribute.
Yeah. Because
he passed away in 2016. You, me, Gary, and a bunch of voicemails. But yes, Tim Nidell, world-renowned Tim Nidell, person who Disney tried to come after because of... See, we both have infamous stories. You have a Jim Cummings, oh my God, that wasn't supposed to be out there story. I have a Maurice LaMarche, yeah. Oh my God, that wasn't supposed to be out there story.
In my story, I don't think I've ever really fully told it on my show either, so I can talk about it here.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you would do it now then, huh?
Why not? We already brought it up.
Okay, so this would have, oh God, I don't know when this would have been. Because I think I've had
that Jim Cummings interview. That was like, you've had him on like four times, but it was like,
times, yeah,
it was right before his DuckTales day. Because it was the thing with the Darkwing.
Yeah,
he wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah. So I think if I remember correctly, I had it all planned out. I wasn't even going to ask about the new DuckTales because I knew he couldn't talk about it. All right. Cause he wasn't even on the show yet as Darkwing Duck. But it was rumored that he was going to be on the show as Darkwing Duck. I forgot how I asked it, but he just spilled the beans, man. He just opened up that can of worms, just kept on talking. He went into full detail how Darkwing Duck was going to be on the reboot of DuckTales. And this is probably a good year before Darkwing even appeared on the reboot of DuckTales.
Jeez.
And he told me everything. I forget what it was, but he told me that Darkwing was going to be a TV, you know, TV character that Launchpad was obsessed with and that, all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't, I think it was like a day later, maybe 2 days later, got an email from Disney.
Yep.
Disney lawyers weren't too happy with it. Now, they were okay with my show. I didn't do anything wrong. They just asked me, politely asked me if I can edit those like 5 to 10 minutes out of that interview, which I did. They said I didn't have to, but I don't want to be on the bad side of Disney. Who does?
Yeah, no, nobody wants to be on Mickey's evil side.
No, absolutely not. So if you listen to it for the first 2 days, maybe in the first 1 day, you got to hear the whole thing. Actually, I do.
Yep.
I do have that audio. I saved it somewhere. Yeah, so that was a little oh my God moment. I need to go home from work right now and edit that out.
Yep. And everyone knows my story. My story was, we had Maurice LaMarche on, and one of the questions we always ask voice actors is, what type of voice acting do you like the most? Because there's character animation, there's ad narration, there's video games. And Maurice was like, oh, video games, you're just you in a room talking to yourself. And he's like, I just finished a session for Batman Arkham City. I was playing the voice of Mr. Freeze. I stopped for like a half a beat, and then I was like, can you give us a sample? And he goes, yeah, no, sir. He didn't go super far. He went far enough to where some little website picked it up. IGN picked it up. And once IGN picks up anything with video games, you're done.
Yep.
I spent the whole day trying to get a hold of him or his age. I'm so sorry. At the end of every episode, every interview I do now, is there anything that we've said in the time that we've had that you want me to cut out? Wow. Because I...
That is smart to ask that. I don't ask that, but maybe I should.
You should.
Every now and then I get an email from them, you know, maybe an hour or so later. Do you mind tweaking this part of the interview where I said this? I think it was...
Yeah.
Actually, Corey Burton was one of those. He didn't say it after the fact, but he was, he was like, I'll tell you what you just asked if we don't air it. All right?
Okay.
So I was like, all right. So I mean, I still recorded it because it was...
Well, yeah, you're going to record it, but you edit it out after the fact. Yeah.
It was a project that he worked on that he didn't want the credit for. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Say that.
Oh, boy. Yikes. That's yikes. Project he was on. Well, let's hope it wasn't any Transformers things, I don't think it was.
No, it was It was even animation.
Okay. Well, then that doesn't matter. All right, folks. So we are here. This is a special episode. And on the Geekcast Radio Network, you've heard us do, thanks to that 100 clickable, lovely list of IGNs, 100 animated series, clicking through 100 pages. Great. Take me all day to click through 100 pages. So we started the top 100 animated series countdown way back when. We've done animated films. We've done animated characters. We've done animated villains, or just villains in general, I think. We've done 7 overall countdowns. And this is going to be a mini countdown. This is... The Geekcast Radio Network and Tooncast have no affiliation with what is about to be said in this podcast, because Tim is here to give us his personal top 10 animated list, whether it's series or film. So I did not give him any real instructions on this. I just said your top 10 animated series or film, because I figured, you know, you have... If I said top 10 animated series, then you would have to do an honorable mention for the Chipmunk movie that you love so much. So, yes, this is Tim's list. We're going to do this like we do all the countdowns. I'm sure there will be some strange voice in between each one saying what the number is. But let's get to it. All right, mystical voice, what number are we at
now? 10.
All right, Tim, what do you got?
So let me just say this now. My list is constantly changing. Kind of depends on what mood I'm in for the day or month, year, whatever, you know. So, and of course, this is my own personal list, so it's going to change all the time. And who cares if it reflects what you guys think and love? Because it's my list. So, what's funny is I'm looking at my list right now, and I'm even debating on moving things around, because the mood that I was in an hour ago is maybe different from what I'm feeling right now.
Yes, well, you can't change it now that you're on the recording. There are no automatic instant changes. There are no instant saves here. This isn't The Voice show.
Fine, we'll just go with it. Number 10. Ready for number 10? I'm going to go with 1992's Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, my God.
Master Bruce, Ms. Gordon, I see you've discovered our little secret. Yes, I admit it. I am Batman.
Number 10. Why does that get number 10 versus number 2?
Well, because I am far more an 80s kid than a 90s kid. Even though I was 12 years old when it came out. Perfect age for Batman the Animated Series. I just hold more 80s cartoons near and dear to my heart than 90s cartoons.
Okay.
I mean... It's hard for me to say this, but the X-Men animated series isn't even making the top 10 because of that reason. It's close. Trust me. It's almost tied with Batman, which kills.
It's at 12, folks. I haven't even seen his list, but I bet it's at 12.
Actually, it's 11. It's 11. But they're almost really tied, so I really can easily talk about both of them, honestly. So it's that hard of a decision for me to make.
Right. So what is it about Batman that you did like?
You know, Batman and Superman, of course, being the first comic book characters I was ever introduced to when I was a kid. I remember I was laying on the floor doing something. I think it was drawing or something on the floor. And my dad came home from work and he threw a comic book at me. You know, not in an evil, mean way.
Yeah.
And it was the comic book issue where Superman was racing the Flash.
Yep.
And that was like my first introduction to any comic book ever. And it was that and Batman that I really connected to. So I'm more of a DC fan than Marvel. I still am. Even, you know, Marvel movies are, you know, better. On
going the way of the dodo at this point.
Yes. Yes, they are. But I don't know. Batman, I just always loved. Not necessarily Batman, you know, fully, but the villains. The characters in the animated series and the comic book are just iconic. And the writing on that series was probably unlike any animated series writing that we ever had up to that point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very much, I'm going to say this, and I know every single BTAS fan is going to scream at me for saying this, but it was very much the Looney Tunes of the 90s. And what I mean by that is, when Bob Clampett and Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng and all those guys back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, when they were making Looney Tunes, they weren't making those for kids. They weren't aiming at kids.
Yep.
Batman, and this is the reason why I'm saying it's the Looney Tunes of the 90s, is that Batman, the animated series, was not, okay, yes, it has some kid stuff in it, but it was for the people that created it. It was for Bruce Timm. It was for Eric Radomski. It was for Paul Dini. It was for James Tucker. It was for Andrea Romano, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill. I mean, Mark especially. Oh, God. Oh, God. I just saw, and I don't know why people would do this, and I understand, but I've heard your interview with Andrea Romano. I've heard other people interview her. I would love to interview her one of these days. But I saw a news article, and it's not in my Google feed anymore. I saw some website reporting that somebody on YouTube took the original Tim Curry Joker stuff and applied it to Batman the Animated Series Joker, because Tim Curry was the first Joker, like, before Mark came on. And I'm just like... Yeah. Look, I get it. We want to preserve history, and I'm all about nostalgia and all that and everything else. But I'm sorry. If the voice director and everyone else said that it wasn't a good fit for the character and Mark Hamill hit it. Look, Tim Curry will always be Cardinal Richelieu to me.
Yeah.
Like, that can be arranged. Like, you know, but come on.
And it's funny about Batman the Animated Series as well. People nowadays are complaining about major celebrities voicing characters now on for cartoons. But Batman the Animated Series was doing it way before anybody else was doing it. If you look at the cast, most of the voices were done by movie or TV stars.
Yep.
So you can't really say it's a modern thing to do. And in fact, Disney was doing it way before the fact in the 1940s. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's always been a thing. So, but Batman the Animated Series is easily one of my favorites. I can still go down, you know, right now and just sit down and enjoy it.
Absolutely. All right, Mystical Voice, give us the next number, please, because we all know what it is, but...
9.
All right. Thank you, Mystical Voice from the great beyond or wherever you are. All right, Tim, what's next on your list?
All right. So, look at my list. Yeah, I think I'm still in agreement with myself from an hour ago. I'm going to say the real Ghostbusters from 1986.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I remember watching. I don't know if it was it was the first episode. It was the Boogeyman episode. Isn't that the first episode?
I think so. I'd have to confirm it, but
I think that's the first. I remember watching that for the very first time in 86 as a kid. wasn't scared of it because, you know, us 80s kids, it took a lot to get scared, I think.
It took a guy with some really, really large metal fingernails to get me scared. And I'm not talking about Edward Scissorhands, folks.
So real Ghostbusters, I just love this cartoon. And a lot of my list is actually going to be tied, you know, kind of tied with the toy franchises that they raised with it, because they did that in the 80s and I guess even the 90s. You know, they get you hooked on the cartoon, then they get you hooked even more by releasing toys on the cartoon, or releasing the toys first and then the cartoon to get you hooked on the cartoon. So it's a very common thing to do back then.
The very first episode aired September 13th, 1986. Ghosts Are Us. Slimer accidentally releases three ghosts from the containment unit, and they set out to put the Ghostbusters out of business by opening their own business. Ghosts Are Us.
What episode is the Boogeyman one?
Okay, let's see.
I know that.
Okay, so that's... All right, the Boogeyman, that aired October 18th, 1986. The guys are hired by a pair of young siblings to rid them of the Boogeyman, an entity Egon is quite familiar with.
And what episode was that?
It's six or seven of the first season. I'm not counting again.
Yeah. So it's early on, but that's the first episode I remember watching of that.
Yep.
And of course, at that point, I was already a huge fan of the movie. Who wasn't when they were our age, you know?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And, the voices, you know, were close enough for me to enjoy. Like I said, the toys are easily in my top five favorite toy franchises of all time. I remember I had the Egon one, the Fright feature Egon, where you pull down on his arm and his tie flips up and his mouth, you know, drops, you know, like a quarter of an inch or whatever.
I mean, I love Maurice as Egon. I love, obviously, Megatron as Ray.
Yeah.
And
Garfield.
Oh, well, then... Yeah, but wow, that's interesting. Yes, Lorenzo Music as Dr. Peter Venkman for 78 episodes from 86 to 87. And then guess who took over?
Oh, that would have been Dave Coulier.
That would have been Uncle freaking Joey. Yeah, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah, I interviewed him about it. Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, so I don't know if this is factual or not, so take this with a grain of salt. But, you know, I think it was even Bill Murray who was like, how come you get a guy who sounds just like Egon, but you get Garfield to voice me? What's up with that? So it's always a little, I think that's true. I think that was a true kind of statement.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the reason why they got rid of Lorenzo Music, who I thought did a great job, honestly. Because even Bill Murray replaced Lorenzo as Garfield. So they have similar voices.
Okay, well, I originally thought it was because he passed away. But he did not die until August 4th of 2001.
No, I think it's because they wanted to go a different direction with it.
Well, that's kind of sad.
I know. Because he did a great job. I'm sorry. The original cast of the real Ghostbusters was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I did not know this. Well, I guess I did. Wow. Really? So Arsenio Hall was Winston originally from 86 to 87. And then from 88 to 91 for 49 episodes of the show, they brought in Blaster from they brought in Buster Jones. I'm like,
oh, okay. I thought,
like, wait, what?
I thought Arsenio Hall lasted much longer than that, but I guess not.
Guess not, but I mean Buster Jones. I mean you can't argue with the Master Blaster, man.
No, you can't.
Anything else you want to say about the real Ghostbusters?
I mean, it's just a cartoon that still fully holds up today. Like one of my favorite episodes is when they go to save Christmas. It's just a great episode. I mean, I think it's on Netflix, maybe even YouTube for free.
Cool.
So I definitely recommend that.
Well, it wouldn't be on Netflix for free because Netflix charges even for ads. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure we can find it on YouTube or you know, folks, if you turn off the dark, I'm sure you can, you know, find it somewhere in some dark corner of the internet. All right, Mystical Countdown Man, let's get the next number, please.
8.
All right, Tim, what do you got?
All right, let's see. Do I want to change it? Nope, I'm keeping it as it is.
You can't. There are no takebacks, damn it. Your list is your list.
I do have to change it slightly because I made two separate lists. One for movies and one for cartoons.
Oh, geez. No.
Sneak in the movies to the cartoon section at some point. So I'm deciding if I need to take off one or, you know, whatever. I don't listen to rules very easily.
Apparently not. Nobody does. But anyway, go ahead. Number 8.
All right. I'm going with 1987's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines.
That's a fact, Jack.
Raphael is cool, but rude.
Give me a break.
Michelangelo is a party dude.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
I'm surprised this isn't higher.
Yeah, you know, it's just a tough... That my next 5 favorites are hard for me to beat. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I agree with you. I can easily put this as number 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Easily
yeah.
as number 3. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but I just think it's not as good, in my opinion, as my other top favorites. But this series is iconic. I mean, you wouldn't, even though it started off as a comic book franchise,
yeah.
series, whatever, you would not,
no, like,
wouldn't have
Ninja none of us kids, none of us, nobody under the age of 20 probably knew
exactly
that. Yeah, no, my first experience was the cartoon show,
and you wouldn't have turtles nowadays if it wasn't for that 87 cartoon show.
Yep.
You know, I mean, as great as the comic probably was, it wouldn't be around. Yep. I'm sorry, it wouldn't have got the 1990. I mean, it could have gotten a movie. I don't think it would have gotten the budget that it got, even though it was a small budget for a movie.
I can't believe you're saying this, seeing as how that was your favorite movie.
I know.
Come on now.
The 1990 movie, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yep.
Jim Henson's puppetry is, and it's like the last thing that he saw before he passed away is just, I don't know. I just love that movie. And it's got a good mixture of both the comic book series and the cartoon in it. I think they did a remarkable job at that.
The only thing, and again, this is your list and this is your opinion, whatever else, but since we're having a discussion about it, I will say the only thing is I actually just, over this past holiday season in 2021, I came into a little bit of extra cash and I spent a little bit too much because it's out of print, but I got the Turtle Van. I got the complete series. Finally, after years, I finally just said, fine, I've paid my bills. Everything is taken care of for this month. It's Christmas time. I want something for Christmas. And I found it for, it was more than MSRP, but it wasn't outrageous. It was like somewhere between $100 and $200. So it's not outrageous considering what the Matrix set and the G.I. Joe Foot Locker and all that stuff goes for now. So the reason why I'm saying all of this is because if I open it and close it again, my VLC media player will pop up and I'll hear the term. I have disc 6 in my computer right now. And I'm in the middle of, I don't know, season 2. Well, it would be season 2 or season 3 because season 1 was only the first 5 episodes. So my point in saying all of this is, I did not know that Uncle Phil only did X number of episodes. He was not always Shredder.
No doubt.
The voice changes.
Yeah.
The voice changes in this show annoy the hell out of me. It has nothing to do with the voice actors. Like Dorian Harewood was Shredder for four episodes in 1989. Somebody, I don't even know who his name, like, never, Bill Martin. I've never heard of Bill Martin. He played Shredder for seven episodes from 94 to 96.
And it wasn't only that character either. They did it for Raphael. I mean, especially in the last season, changed that Raphael, of course. But it was throughout the whole series that kind of did that. I think it was just they had to film with who they had for that moment, I guess.
I guess, I don't know. But like, I completely forgot that there are certain episodes in season two that I'm like, this happened this early? Like the Leatherhead episode, and there's another episode. One of the Alien Krang episode, one of the Dimension X. I'm like, really? They did the Dimension in season two? Like, I expect that to be like
season five.
Three or four, five or something like that. So anyway, I'm sorry. This is your...
No, it's fine. It's great that we have a conversation about it. I now that you talk about it more, I'm thinking why it's not closer to number one on my list is the fact that I do feel the show kind of went down the hill, especially the last couple seasons of it. You know, I don't remember if I even watched the last season of it, to be honest.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
I know by... So, like I said, the first five episodes, Hot Rodding Teenagers from Dimension X and The Case of the Killer Pizzas are... So, the first five episodes are what they are, and they are the first five-parter, and they're the origin and whatever else, and I always remembered those. But Hot Rodding Teenagers from Dimension X and Case of the Killer Pizza, Sewer Pizza Animals or whatever the pizza monsters. Those were BK VHS tapes that I had.
I have those still, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I have.
So, and the only other one I remember is, and I don't know why I remember this, because I can't stand her character, the tale of the 50-foot Irma.
Oh, God, that was a bad one. That was a...
Oh, God.
She was annoying. I do give you that.
There are only, out of the entire voice cast, I want to say, yes, only two of the actual turtles are in, the voice actors are in all 193 episodes, and that is Leonardo
and Michelangelo. Yeah.
Yep. Townsend Coleman and Cam Clark.
Yeah, I mean.
Whom you've had on your show.
I haven't had Cam on yet. No.
Really? I'm going to beat you to that. I'm going to send him an email right as soon as we're done with this.
No, I don't. Yeah, I keep meaning to reach out to him, but no, I haven't had him on. But Michelangelo, dude, that was one of my favorite interviews I've done.
Yeah, I love that guy.
He should be kind of talking about interviews I've done with each pick that I kind of do, huh?
Maybe, but we can always save that for the next week too. So
true as well. That's true as well.
All right, we are up to the next number. Mysterious voice. Let's take it away.
Seven.
All right. So let's do this one. 1991 introduced one of my favorite characters of all time. The reason why it's not higher on my list is because it just needed to last longer, I think. So the show...
Are we getting dangerous?
We are definitely getting very dangerous right now. We're talking about Darkwing Duck.
Of course.
Let's get dangerous.
Such a short show.
I hate you, Disney Plus. I love you, Disney Plus, but I hate you, Disney Plus. So when Disney Plus debuted... I'm sorry to steal your thunder.
No.
When Disney Plus debuted and they're like, look, we have all this stuff, I immediately went to look at Darkwing and I'm like, why is the Terrace Bulba two-parter not the first two episodes? What did you do?
They do that on the DVD release too. I don't know why they do.
Really?
Yes. And they did the same thing with DuckTales DVD release. They didn't make it part. They made it like on the second disc. It's like, why? It makes no sense. This is the first episode. It introduces everything. Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. But Darkwing Duck, oh, God, this show, just amazing. I just, Same reason why I like Batman the Animated Series. The characters are just amazing. All the side characters, Darkwing is just great. I mean, it's supposed to be like a Batman type of a series, and it was perfect. And it just kind of introduced me to Jim Cummings, who I already knew through, you know, like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and things that he's done at the time. But he really, that's when he found his voice. That's when he found his true character, his iconic character that he created, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And this show, man, it is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good, especially once they add Magicka. Or not Magicka, Morgana.
Morgana, yeah.
Because, hello, it's a play on Morgan or Morgana. Look at whichever version of the Arthurian legend you want to. Her name is always different, but it's a version of Le Fay, sort of. And, yeah. And then you have the villains in this show, and I'm like... How in the Sam hell is Sideswipe, Swoop? Who else did he play? Sideswipe, Swoop. I'm sure he played one of the aerial bots. Michael freaking Bell as Quacker Jack. Duke like from, just yeah. steals the show.
I know. Quacker Jack is easily one of the best characters on there. And part of my favorite episode of all time, which is what's the name of the episode? With Dark Warrior Duck.
I'm
drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Time and punishment.
Okay.
That's been my favorite episode since it aired, is the where they go to like an alternate, you know, different timeline. And he's Dark Warrior Duck instead of Dark Wing Duck. Just love that episode.
Oh, sorry. We make it a point never to get involved.
I am the terror that hunts in the night.
Dad?
I am the jackal that gnaws at your bones. I'm not finished. I am Dark Warrior Duck. Maybe a year in the pen will teach you to use a crosswalk, Jaywalker.
He does that to jaywalkers?
And you thought your insurance premiums were high now.
What would he do to real criminals?
Let's not stick around to find out, Scout.
Yeah, this show, man, only got 3 seasons. It deserved 10.
And it only ran from 91 and 92, even though it got 3 seasons. Only on the air for over a year.
Yeah.
It's hard to realize that because, you know, it wasn't on just once a week. It was on more than once a week.
Yeah, well, it was... I mean, let's see. Yeah, it was daily. It was 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe not in the...
Let's see.
Maybe not in the...
Darkly...
But definitely ahead, after sorry. Season two, it was, when it was part of the Disney Afternoon.
Yeah, starting in... Well, yeah. Starting with Get Antsy, September 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Okay, so yeah. So whatever days of the week... 10th through the 13th were, it was daily.
Yeah.
At first in 91. And then lately, you said, obviously, by the time we got to season two, it really was.
Yeah.
Dark Warrior?
Oh, perfect. Gone 5 minutes and my own daughter forgets my name. Just like she forgot she was supposed to stay in the rat catcher.
Launchpad!
Don't change the subject. I have had it with you, young lady. You are grounded for a month.
No problem, Dad. That kind of justice I can handle.
Now, don't argue with me. I give you...
Yeah, and I remember
coming
home from school.
No, they went weekly. Oh, wow. By season two, they stopped doing daily. They went weekly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember.
That's... Again, it's IMDb folks. They could be wrong, but I don't think they would be.
And maybe we're also confusing it with reruns. Maybe they played reruns daily and then putting a new one once a week. You know?
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm looking at the actual episode synopsises here. And like I said, I'm seeing things that like Revolution in Home Appliances, September 23rd, 1991, Trading Faces, September 24th. Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlatan, 25th, 26th, 27th, and then goes to You Sweat Your Life was September 30th. So, yeah, it was daily the first season, the first year, and then they went weekly because I think by that time, Disney Afternoon
had more shows to throw in there.
Yeah, you didn't need 5 days of Darkwing. You had Darkwing and DuckTales.
Tailspin
and Bonkers.
Yeah. I don't think DuckTales and Darkwing Duck ever ran the same time. I think DuckTales ended right before Darkwing started, I think.
Oh, right. 87 to... 90, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So anyways, Darkwing Duck, the voices and the characters are just iconic. And I've had a handful of the voice actors on my show.
You've had them all on your show. Don't sugarcoat this one. Come on now.
Yeah, just like since it's one of my favorite shows, I think I try to get pretty much everybody who I could get on the show.
I was like, when I was going back listening to episodes, I was like, I clicked on one episode that had nothing to do with Darkwing Duck. Next thing I know, like, here, would you like the 3 episodes of Terry McGovern as Launchpad? I'm like, okay, I will listen to Launchpad stories eventually. Thank you.
That was one of my – he is in my top 5 favorite interviews, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. He's awesome.
I would definitely highly recommend. He's hilarious. He caught me – okay, so I this is a little behind-the-scenes thing I don't talk about much. Okay. I like to have a little drink when I interview people, all right? It's all right. I'm an adult. I'm 42 years old. I can do that. But I don't announce it on my show because I know kids under the age do listen to it. So it's very family-friendly, 100% family-friendly. But I tend to have a drink, and his interview was one of the first ones I did where it was fully video. He can see me.
Oh,
I can see him.
No.
And he's like, what are you drinking there? And I was like, it's water. He's like, sure, it's water. It wasn't water.
Yeah. Yeah. It was water with a Jolly Rancher in it. That's what it was. It was Zima in Jolly Rancher. Oh, that's
God.
That's so 90s, folks. So
90s.
Zima and Jolly Ranchers.
Zima was my first ever drink I ever drank.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And then I had it again in 2002. Made me sick off of the sugar alone.
Awful. Yeah, that'll do that. And I just want to let everyone know this is not necessarily because we say SDFH, whatever the hell. See, right there. Whatever. I always tag my podcast explicit because of the innuendos and the innuendon'ts. And
there you go.
Please, folks, don't drink. If you can help it, don't drink. But, you know, we're not saying all of those curse words like every other word. It's not like
my next
Where the hell are we, All right, Mystical Voice, what's the next number?
Number 6. Here we go. All right, you ready? Yep. Now, this is where I kind of could really anger people, I think.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm putting the show as number 6, and I think a lot of people, especially our age, might have this as number 1.
Okay.
1984's Transformers.
At number 6, I can understand and accept that. I don't completely hate it. And honestly, I don't even know. If I was forced into making a top 10 list of animated series and films, sure, fine. What's your...
You'll allow it then. Okay, thank you.
Well, I mean, it's your list. This is your episode. I can't not allow it.
Musical sonic boom. Good old jazz.
All right, so Transformers. How much of a Transformers kid were you?
I mean, the fact that it's number 6, I mean, that's a lot because I watched almost every cartoon you can think of as a kid between the early 80s and mid 90s. See, that's kind of a misconception with people that listen to my show. I get a lot of people talking about new cartoons, stuff after, you know, after I was an adult. I stopped watching cartoons since like 97, maybe even 96. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I I don't feel bad saying that. I just outgrew them at that time. I was 16, 17 years old. So people are like, oh, what about Adventure Time? What about SpongeBob? I was like, no, I only watched SpongeBob to get ready for my interview with, you know, with SpongeBob himself, you know, or my kids watch it. So I'm familiar with it.
Hello, discerning podcast listeners. This is Tom Kenny, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yeah.
So anyways, I forget why I went to that rant, but...
Well, because people who listen to your show assume you watched cartoons. Like, if you're interviewing Tom Kenny, they assume you've seen every single episode of SpongeBob.
I interviewed Tom Kenny because I was a huge Rocko's Modern World fan.
Yes.
I thought you were made of sterner stuff.
So, Transformers.
SpongeBob. Yeah, Transformers.
Infamous series.
Transformers, iconic. Another show that who knew that it would still be around and as popular as maybe even ever nowadays with the movies and multiple, you know, different cartoon series, which I haven't watched because, like I said, I don't watch modern cartoons, but...
Okay, so what is it about the classic Generation 1 cartoon that you like?
You know, it was, again, this is another show that tied along with a great toy franchise that I loved playing with as a kid. I don't remember having a lot of them as a kid, but I had a good enough of them to really enjoy them and really get involved in the cartoon series. I mean, a ton of action, you know, from episode one, action everywhere. And, you know, the good, the bad, which I always lean towards the Decepticon side because I loved Soundwave and who else was my favorite? Soundwave was pretty much my all-time favorite character, I think, on the show. I don't know why. Is it because I love cassettes, maybe?
That could be it.
No, it seems to be a recurring theme in my branding to have a cassette, and maybe Soundwave could be why. I'm just now realizing that. Huh, interesting.
Disclosure averted. Continue observation.
This is like a little, you're like my psychiatrist. I'm laying on the couch and I love cassettes.
That's right.
But this show is just iconic. But my complaint is there was too many characters to keep track of. You know what I mean?
Well, they added more characters and more. Like, the first season is only 16 episodes. The second season was 49 episodes. And then season three was... I mean, there are only... I should know this. 98. There are only 98 episodes total. So 16, 49... And then season three, whatever number that is. And then season four, technically. But season four was just the Rebirth three-parter. So, you know.
Yep. And then the movie. I love the movie, too.
Yeah, the movie. Yep.
I don't know if I cried. I don't know if I cried or not. But I'm sure I did. I don't know. I didn't really become a sensitive person until I became a parent. Oh, I don't know.
Wow. All righty then, folks. You heard it here first, folks. This is the dark side of Tim Nidell.
I may not have cried when Optimus died.
Well, at least you're not hiding in your closet.
Yeah.
Refusing to come out for a week and a half.
And use the power of the Matrix to light our darkest hour.
Yes, I cried as a kid in 1987 or 88 or whenever it was, because I didn't get to go to the theater to see it. I saw it on VHS from some video rental store later. And yes, I cried. But 40-something years later, I'm like, you know, he's going to sit there and play basketball with them and while Megatron's destroying it. No, please, please, people, let Hot Rod become Rodimus Prime and be the true leader of the Autobots.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, I don't know if I cried or not. I mean, I probably did. I don't remember. I don't know.
I can't remember yesterday, let alone 40 years ago half the time. So
yeah, who knows? I mean, I cried over some things, especially now. You know, I watched Field of Dreams, now I cry. I cry at Field of Dreams. I'm proud to admit it. What number are we at?
We are up to number whatever this person's going to say, but I think it is number five.
Five.
All right. Man, I'm looking at my movie list. I really need to start getting movies into there before I have no space, which I already know right now I have no space to put two more movies into there. So I might have to squeeze illegally another movie into there so I can talk about Chipmunk Adventure. I'm going to do that now. Chipmunk Adventure.
Okay.
Really? Alvin, what are you doing here? We're on our way to Istanbul. What are you doing here? We're on our way to Cairo. Have you guys had any, trouble along the way? Well, there was this guy... We've had nothing but smooth sailing. And you?
Well, actually, I get the feeling...
It's been a piece of cake. The only problem we have is crowd control. We're the hottest act in rock and roll. But you don't have that problem, do you?
No.
Sure we do. No, you don't.
All right, Mr. Popularity. How much you wanna bet we can out rock and roll you?
We've got to keep these two apart.
Come on, Theodore.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say it's better than Transformers for me. It is. No, I can
say it. It's hard for me to say it, but it is. Uh-huh. Okay.
For totally,
sure.
Totally right. Different reasons, though. For totally different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember, so Chipmunk Adventure came out in 1987. I would have been seven. You would have been seven as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember is another rental. We did go to movies quite a bit in theater, but this is a rental, probably because my parents didn't want to go sit with me to watch it.
Yeah.
And I just was addicted to this movie. I think I had the flu when they rented it, so I was homesick. And I remember watching it like 3 to 4 times in a couple of days because I was home from school. And no, that's
right.
Was. No, I didn't have the flu. I had infantigo or tigo. Yeah, whatever.
Okay. You had some sort of disease.
Disease where it's contagious. So I couldn't go to school. And they rented Chipmunk Adventure. And so I already loved Alvin and the Chipmunks, the cartoon series from the 80s. I already loved that one. I mean, it should have been in my top 10 list, and I'm thinking about it. But at least I'm talking about the movie, right?
Yeah.
So it's better than that.
Yep.
And this series, the music is iconic, except for that one stupid song, the Getting Lucky song, which if you listen to my interview, my second to last interview that I did, we talked about that pretty detailed why it's in there.
Yeah.
It's just iconic. It kind of reminded me kind of like a Disney movie. And we found out during my interview why, because it had some of the former Disney animators animating. Characters that are amazing. Songs are amazing. I love Miss Miller as a. So, if you watch the movie, so there's a part where she's on the phone with Dave, or she thinks it's Dave. It's really a recording that Alvin did of Dave in different segments. You know, him saying things to splice together what they want him to say. And there's a part where. Dave calls back later and says, is Alvin available? And she says, available for what? Okay, for the past 20 years or more, every time somebody says available, I say available for what?
Yeah.
Every time somebody says it. So this movie, I don't know. It's just easily one of my favorites. I just love this movie.
I forgot Ross was all three.
Yeah.
He's Dave, Alvin, and Simon, and then Janice is Theodore.
Theodore and
along
the girl.
With Brittany, Jeanette, and Eleanor. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and Janice is the interview that I did, and an interview that I've been trying to get since day one, honestly. So for over 10 years, trying to get her on the show. And then I got her.
And look at it this way. It took you to shut the show down for a couple of months to finally get her. You're like, episode 200, I've peaked, folks. I'm going to go do other stuff 2 weeks later. Here's 201 and here's Noel Blank.
I needed a mental break, I guess.
I'm surprised you didn't get them both on, her and Ross together.
Well, that would have been off the record. So off the record.
Okay, fine.
Let's go with that one. 1983's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Today I broke a promise and proved myself unworthy the great power that was given me. And if I am unworthy, I can no longer permit myself to be He-Man. Let the power return!
What is it about that show that puts it at number four?
I'm trying to think. No, not in that way. I'm trying to remember if I think this was the first cartoon I ever remember watching as a kid ever in my life. So it had that impact on me being the first cartoon I ever watched. Mm-hmm. And I remember being the first cartoon I ever watched. And I had a couple of the toys later on in the series, not in the beginning. But my brother's good friend, so my brother's 2 years older than me, so mm-hmm. he would have been 5 at the time, I think, when the show came out. But the toys came first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of my brother's friends had a ton of the He-Man toys, a ton with Star Wars toys too. And we just played with them a lot. So this would be an instance where I remember the toys first, of course, like a lot of kids did, because it was introduced first to promote the cartoon series later down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's cheesy. It's got Orko. It's got a obvious He-Man, you know, in Prince Adam. I don't know how mm-hmm. you can't see that. If you make fun of Clark Kent and his, you know, hiding with the glasses and hair all styled and everything. I mean, just because He-Man wears pink and that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, technically Prince Adam wears pink, purple, and white, and He-Man wears...
So nothing. You see the muscles, but you know that too much.
I mean...
But
yeah.
I don't know. It's a cheesy cartoon. It still is, but I just hold this one dear to my heart just because, you know, we have that learning thing at the end of every episode, very much G.I. Joe did. And as much hate as Orko gets, I still like Orko. I don't care what people say. He's cute. You know, as a kid, I thought he was funny. I think I remember having a lunch pail of He-Man as a kid. And
yep.
Just,
I don't remember having He-Man lunchboxes. I remember having Transformers lunchboxes and Knight Rider lunchboxes and Alf lunchboxes. And I don't think I ever had a He-Man one, but that would be interesting nowadays.
Yeah, and there's a really like nice metal one they had back then. Like I can kind of envision it metal. I think it was like a solid blue. Had Skeletor on one side. I think it had He-Man on the other side. Just iconic. Yep. When I'm trying to envision it, at least in my mind. But I mean, it's not a perfect cartoon. I can't say it's honestly better than my top 10 list. But for me, it is, because it just holds so much memories of watching it with my brother.
Right. Absolutely. So behind the scenes for you is that in 2011/2012, Optimus Solo and I started the Powers of Grayskull series only on the Geekcast Radio Network. We were going to go through everything that Mattel or whomever has ever done with animation with He-Man. So we've reviewed every single one of these 130 episodes, the 93 episodes of She-Ra, the God knows how many horrible numbers of New Adventure. Oh, God.
I never watched that one.
Don't stop. Don't. And no, don't.
I won't.
You don't know. 2002, which was really, really good. It was basically an updated version of this, but they took it in a different. It only has 39 episodes, sadly. It was supposed to get a season 3, but it didn't. Cartoon Network is Cartoon Network, and they do stupid shit. And then there's the current crop of stuff between She-Ra and the Princesses of Power on Netflix, and He-Man and the CGI He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, plus the. I know Optimus Solo is going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, "Why are you being so nice?" I'm sorry. I don't like Kevin Smith anymore. Kevin Smith has smoked way too much goddamn weed, and he's turned into an idiot.
I don't know what happened. I know. Ever since he started smoking pot, he just lost his right abilities.
Have you watched his Revelation?
I want to.
You have not watched it. I understand you want to, and I don't ever want to push somebody off of trying something other than New Adventures. New Adventures is not worth your time. But there's a few things that are very Kevin Smith the He-Man show. And they are very innuendo-ent, if you know what I mean. Wow. And it's close. It's a very, like, half of a second away of something, but it doesn't. But just the inference, and I get it. That show is for us. But the way I will say about the current crop of He-Man stuff, for what you're saying, the original Filmation show was to you, and what it was to me, and what it was to everybody else. Imagine the feelings we had 40 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
To what kids may be watching now with the CGI version. I don't care what any adult male or female says about the designs of the show. That's fine. We don't all have to agree on the design of something. I find it a little weird, but I'm getting used to it. But the stories in the CGI version on Netflix are what kids today should be growing up on. The lessons that are in that show, they don't have a specific.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a specific after show lesson like we did in Lou Scheimer days, but basically take Filmation He-Man and take the CGI He-Man. They're the same jumping on point for a boy child between the ages of 5 and 8 or 5 and 10 or 5 and 12 right now in this day and age. So we've gone through all of this, and oh my God, there's so many episodes of Filmation He-Man. Like, the Star Child is an episode I will never watch again. Oh my God. Half of the kid characters in this show. But yeah, folks, we have over 130 episodes of the podcast, the Grayskull series. You can listen to all of that over there. All right, number 3, sir. We're in the top 3. What do you got?
My top 3, I don't think ever really changes. So I'm very content with what I'm about to say. But I do need to do one honorable mention in a movie that it needs to be in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll do that now. This is an honorable mention before we're done with the list. Can we do that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. I gotta talk about Pinocchio. The original 1940 Pinocchio is my favorite Disney movie. And it's my favorite
Why?
It's just amazing, dude. The animation is just epic.
The animation is amazing, but they got eaten by a whale.
It's part of the series, man. You just got to go with it. A lot of weird things happen to that movie. A lot of weird things. You just got to be along for the ride. So, for technical reasons, it's my favorite Disney movie.
Okay, well, there's your honorable mention. What is your number three?
Number three. So this one had a couple, actually. So you could say it started in 83 or 84, but that was the miniseries. 1985's G.I. Joe.
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe!
Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but people think it's weird that I like this more than Transformers.
I mean, I kind of get it because, I mean, for me, I had a, you know, if you put, you know, chocolate and whatever on the other side of the choice, I'm probably going to pick chocolate half the time.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with me and Transformers and G.I. Joe. Yes, I remember G.I. Joe, but I don't have as much of a memory. Like, G1, I have it ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, I don't have ingrained in my
brain. I'm the other way around. I'm the other way around. I think it's because the characters for me as a kid stood out more in G.I. Joe. You know, they had a distinct, the way they looked, talked. You know, Shipwreck was my favorite character on the show, along with Duke was my, no, Flint would have been my second favorite, and then maybe Duke my third favorite. But I don't know. Each character just seemed different. And I was able to notice that as a five-year-old kid, you know. Transformers, it got a little complicated to know who was who at certain moments when they're, you know, fighting or going pretty fast. But I just have a more of a connection. And this also goes back to the toy line of G.I. Joe. And I think this would have been the toy franchise I had the most toys of. I think I had like 20 or more characters and then vehicles on top of that. So my brother and I had a ton of G.I. Joe toys. I remember, I think the first ones I got, my dad kind of did the same thing. He came back from work and he had a box of like 10 or more G.I. Joes he got from a yard sale. And that's our introduction to the toy line. And I think it was around the same time the animated series started because we were actually watching the animated series at that time too. So we already loved the animated series. And I don't know. You know, I've always been, my dad was big on war movies when I was a kid. And it just reminded me of a giant, you know, Western war movie as a cartoon series. Fighting.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with G.I. Joe is because it's military characters, like it's, you know, G.I. Joe, you know, join the army, do this, do that, whatever it is, you know, and then it's, you know, them versus Cobra and, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, like, look, folks, 40 years ago in the 80s, half of our parents wanted us to grow up to be a lawyer, a doctor,
a cop,
going to a police officer, a fireman, a EMT, whatever, or going to the military.
Yeah.
And that's where G.I. Joe kind of came in. Like, that's why G.I. Joe had to have the, you know, just like every other 80s cartoon had to have the messages at the end and all that.
Exactly. The now you know, knowing is half the battle.
The other half is red laser and blue laser. Thank you very much.
Yes, it is.
I'll be here all week.
I remember, so the toys, I remember my brother and I, we never really had any of the bases as toys. You know, we had some of the vehicles, not much, mainly just characters. So we used to take our multi-story cat house, and that was the Cobra Commander's, you know, base. And I remember even one time we found a, I don't know what kind of caterpillar it was, but one of the hairy ones. We put that in the cat house, and that was like a monster attacking the G.I. Joes.
Oh, yeah.
Just a lot of memories with this show.
Absolutely, absolutely. You and I both have interviewed Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old Lauren Lester. I did not know, because I did not watch this show that much. I did not know he was Barbecue, but I love the fact that he's Barbecue, and I love the fact that he gave Barbecue a New England accent.
Yes, that is a great direction that it took. Yeah, there's a lot of voice actors that were so good on the show, even, you know, one-timers kind of, or a couple episodes, you know?
It's a shame that Barbecue is only in 9 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to think a lot of iconic characters from G.I. Joe are only in, some of them are only in, you know, 5 to 10 episodes.
Yep. Absolutely. And of course, you got, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love all the voice actors, but you got, and I didn't know what his name was, but that narrator, Jackson Beck, oh my God. This, like, I haven't looked at G.I. Joe's stuff in years. Like, I haven't. Oh, he died in 2004. Damn. But I mean, you hear that narrator's voice and you're like,
I know, it's,
you're standing, you're easily standing at attention.
For sure. For sure. No, I completely agree. And then when Sergeant Slaughter got introduced, so here's a little behind the scenes thing that people might not know is they wanted to get Rambo as a character.
They couldn't do it.
They Stallone couldn't, do it. Never, they couldn't do it. No, so they got Sergeant Slaughter instead.
Yep. And as of this recording, it's out now. You can, I think, get it at GameStop. Or maybe as of this recording, maybe it's still on pre-order at GameStop. I don't know if you're into Funko Pops at all, but there already was a WWE version of Sergeant Slaughter. They are now releasing with a G.I. Joe box, a G.I. Joe accurate black shirt Funko Pop Sergeant Slaughter. That's awesome. Yep. Yeah.
A fun absolutely. Addition. As a kid, I loved wrestling back then too, you know, so it was a good addition.
Absolutely. All right. What is your next number, Mr. Mysterious Voice?
Number two. All right.
Yep.
Number two. Okay, so let me just say, my number one, number two sometimes go back and forth, or they're sometimes tied. But today, I'm on the side of this being as my number two. I'm going all the way back to 1985 to talk about Thundercats.
When I'm not rooting for Earth of Mumra's evil, I'm enjoying Tooncast with the other Thundercats.
Because that show, man, I've never forgotten about Thundercats. I just adore this show. I mean, I don't know. People make fun of it. People say it's cheesier than He-Man, which I don't think it is.
No, I can safely say it is not, because of the simple fact that you didn't have Lion-O and Willa making all kinds of weird babies and having all kinds of weird thunder children. Like, look, Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat are about as close to bad. Look, do me a favor. Listen to us on Power. I'm sitting here pimping out my own show, but Powers of Grayskull series. If you don't want to go back and watch through all 130 episodes of He-Man, go back and listen to some of the episodes where we talk about the kids in that show. Oh, cousin fucking Jeremy. I am sorry. This is an explicit podcast, folks. Sorry about your luck. Cousin fucking Jeremy, I wanted to kill that kid. I'm not a violent person, but that kid on that cartoon, I wanted to just shove him right off of Snake Mountain.
Oh my God.
Just drowned him in the waterfall behind the snake's head. Oh God. So yeah, Thundercats. Go ahead, Thundercats. I'm sorry.
Another one. So this will be my second series I remember watching as a kid, but my first series I remember kind of trying to duplicate myself. I pretended I was Lion-O as a kid. I remember doing that. Remember Lincoln Logs?
Oh, yeah.
So the roof piece, the long, you know, piece of wood, I think it was even an orange piece of wood, maybe the green one. I don't remember. But I drew the Thundercat symbol on it. I used to run around the house. Thundercats ho, Thundercats ho.
Yep.
My mom even remembers that. She talked about that a couple years ago, and she hardly remembers anything from the 80s. So the fact that she remembers that, you know, means I did it quite a bit. And I don't know, the characters again stand out, I think. And the story, at least for the first couple seasons, I do admit it went downhill for the last season. Mainly because they introduced too many Snarfs. Even though I love Snarf. People make fun of Snarf too. I love Snarf. He's a great character. But when you introduce a planet of Snarfs, it's not good.
I didn't mind Nephew Snarfer, Uncle Snarf. I didn't mind that. That was fine. But yeah, once you introduced the whole planet, that was too much.
Too much. The first season, you can't beat the first season. But the second season introduces a lot of great characters that should have been in the first season to make it even better, I think, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But Mumra as a villain, I think, scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Scared the crap out of all of us. Like, yeah, but...
And Lion-O, I have Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O. He's the voice of my podcast. He has done the introduction to my podcast since day one. I think we've gone through a couple different versions of it. He recorded one version the first year and then another one maybe 3 to 4 years later. I forget. Maybe there's been three of them. I don't remember.
Yeah, there's been at least 3 or 4, and there have been a couple where I listened to one recently, whichever one it was today that I listened to, where it was a completely different intro. It was more of a narrator voice. It was not Larry Kenny. It was somebody else.
That one probably would have tied along with a Disney one or something. It's probably the Disney anyways.
Probably. Yeah.
So there's a couple episodes where I have a different voice introducing it. But anyways, Larry Kenny. So I had him do the show, the intro. I guess we'll talk about it more next week, too. But yeah, he's been the voice of the intro since day one. And, you know, it was a huge honor to get him to do that intro. And I mean, he sounds like Lion-O. It's great to listen to. It kind of pumped me up when I hear it.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. A lot of some of these voice actors don't net like Larry Kenny and Michael Bell and... Nope. You know, those are the two that I can Dan Gilvezan, you know, not everyone can be a Mel Blanc or a Frank Welker where they have 1,000 different. And that's OK, because, you know, you pick up the phone and all of a sudden or you pick up the Skype call or you figure out, you know, how to string two cans between Montana and California or whatever. But like you pick up the thing and it's like. I know what their characters sound like because for me, and I say this in almost every podcast I do, as kids, for us, it wasn't about the person doing the voice. It was about the voice itself and the character, the fiction.
Yep.
We never, up until the internet came along, we didn't not care. But as children of the 80s, we were more interested in the fictional world because the reality for us was, at least for me personally in Massachusetts in 86, 87, 88, 89, you know, when I was in elementary school, it was like, okay, you get up at 5:45, 6 a.m., you get a shower if you didn't shower the night before, you get breakfast, you're half the time I was on the bus by 6:45, so most of that morning cartoon stuff I barely got kind of thing. But it was like, you know, you get up early in the morning, you go to school for 8-9 hours, whatever the hell it is, you get home, maybe you can watch a couple of cartoons, work on part of your homework, get to dinner, work on the rest of your homework, and then you can watch, you know, Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Exactly. No, that was the 80s in a nutshell right there.
Yep, pretty much.
So. You pretty much named it. But Thundercats, I don't know. I mean, I can understand why people don't hold it as high as I do, because I just was in the right age group, so, I guess. And just
right. I think, because I currently don't have my Hulu subscription active, but I think they are still on Hulu. And up to season 3, there were several episodes here and there where it was iffy, but up to season 3, they were really, really solid.
It's strong. The storytelling is strong. And a lot of continued storylines, which weren't necessarily done a lot in the 80s.
No.
I don't think He-Man ever did it. I don't think, you know, Transformers, of course, did it.
He-Man, I believe, has, out of 130 episodes, I think they have four total episodes, two separate two-parters.
Yeah.
House of Shakoti was a two-parter, and there was something else that was a two-parter. But generally.
Thundercats was pretty much a continuous show. Every now and then, it would introduce a new character that had its own episode. But a lot of it was a continued storyline, which I loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Please, I will insert a drum roll around here somewhere, folks. Number one, sir, what do you got?
Can I just talk quickly, very quickly, honorable? Very, I won't talk about them.
Another one?
I just want to list honorable mentions. Just list them.
Okay.
Yeah, fine, sure, whatever.
I'm just going real quick. Muppet Babies. Love it.
Yep.
Tiny Toon Adventures. Easily, it was at the time one of my favorite 90s cartoons of all time.
Yep.
Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats doesn't get enough love in my book. Love that cartoon series. Mainly the Cadillac Cats. Chippendale Rescue Rangers, iconic. Tailspin, amazing. Of course, X-Men and Garfield and Friends. Those all deserve to be in my list somewhere. But number one. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Back in 1987, we were introduced to this amazing cartoon. And that cartoon is DuckTales.
Really?
But why is that really?
Wow.
Blow me bagpipes. He's a genie.
Does his mother know about this?
We were gonna tell you, Uncle Scrooge, someday.
Where'd he come from?
Remember my teapot?
Heavenly Hera. The genie in the magic lamp. The fortunes I could own. I could have the world's biggest diamond. No. The world's biggest diamond mine. No. All the diamond mines. No, the entire mining industry. Yes. I can see where this is going to take some careful thought.
No, it's been my favorite since I was a kid. Since 87, it was my favorite cartoon. So 85 to 87, it would have been Thundercats was my go-to as number one. DuckTales became my number one in 87. I just remember going to school. And just talking about the episode from the day before, like in detail, and just like laughing at it and just mimicking it, copying some of the stuff that Huey, Dewey, Louie, and even Bubba Duck did. And
Bubba Duck.
He gets hate. I love Bubba Duck, though. He gets hate. But DuckTales, I remember vividly the pilot episodes, the search for the
golden lamp.
No, not the lamp, but the coins. Golden.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. And it, actually, even on Etsy, I found somebody who made a replica of the horn. I have it. It's so cool looking.
Oh, wow.
Love it. But
that is awesome.
I think I've said it before somewhere on the podcast. I think it's when I interviewed the writer of the pilot episodes. What's his name? He also wrote the Goofy movie.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think off the top of my head.
Anyways, I told him I think this is a perfect pilot episode. Now it's in four separate episodes. They branched out of four separate episodes. And it also gave me my... So Jim Cummings has done amazing voices since he's been doing voice acting. But I think my favorite voice of his is El Capitan from DuckTales, from the pilot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear Jim Cummings' voice in almost everything he does. You know what I mean? You can kind of point it out.
Because he just has that voice that is like... Again, it's one of those, like, he doesn't need to put on a voice his voice is more than enough. He can modulate it. Yep. He can change it. He can do whatever. But, yeah, you don't need a...
No. Yeah. But go listen to El Capitan. You won't hear Jim Cummings. I didn't even know it was Jim Cummings up until maybe 10 years ago. Such a great character. I wish they brought back later in the series. But at least if you do anything, go watch those pilot episodes, the first four episodes. Amazing, right. Amazing episodes.
Jim Magan, Bruce Talkington, or Mark Zaslav?
Jim Magan. That's who it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he was a cool writer of those. And it just, I don't know, this show reminds me of Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I loved it so much as a kid. You know, a different adventure almost every episode. Go and look for some treasure, you know. They run into some natives or ghosts. I guess it kind of had a Scooby-Doo element to it as well, you know, when it comes to the ghosts and, you know, people they unmask at the end of some of the episodes and introduce us to Launchpad McQuack, I think easily one of the best characters from the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think he did better with Darkwing than he did with Scrooge.
I do. And I think I kind of even told him that in the interview that I do prefer the Darkwing Launchpad because he had more of a storyline, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. He seemed more of a character instead of a side character, you know?
Yeah.
So I can definitely agree with that. But yeah, DuckTales 87, great show. And it's, you know, weird to say that I can call one of the main cast members one of my close friends, Brian Cumming, who does Doofus on the show. So it's fun to say that he's a good friend of mine.
Very cool. Yeah, DuckTales. I remember this, but I don't. Like, I need to go back and rewatch it.
At least
because
the first season is unbeatable. Now this is a hot take right now too, because many people love this character. I love this character, but this is where I think the series went downhill.
Okay.
So when it comes to Gizmoduck, love the character. He's one of people's probably favorite character on the show, but that's when the show loses its heart, I think. Is when Gizmoduck comes in and replaces Launchpad McQuack. Because Launchpad's still in it, but he's way more of a side character than ever before when Gizmoduck comes along.
Well, yeah, because Launchpad went over to St. Kennard and...
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Even though Tad Stone says they're not connected. But how are they not connected? I'm sorry.
How are they? Like,
are they not connected?
That's what I don't understand. Like, okay, so I can separate fiction from people, from real people. Like, again, like I said earlier in the episode, as children, we didn't know.
Yeah.
No one knew, but everyone looked up to the character of Cliff Huxtable, except nobody knew what, you know what I mean? Like, but the same thing with, you know, this kind of thing, like, this whole... Just everything about these kids, some of these creators that have gone just completely insane. Thank God I went with the lingerie buyer instead of the boy wizard. But like, I'm serious. Like, I understand people want to keep continuity or not keep continuity or whatever, and people want to say various things. Oh, they are, they aren't connected. Look, if you have one character that started in one show that is the same damn character as the other show and jumps over to the other show because whatever, and maybe, if I'm remembering correctly, doesn't Launchpad at some point in Darkwing Duck say that he came from Duckburg?
If
he says he comes from Duckburg, the only other show that has had Duckburg in it in 1991 was DuckTales.
Even Darkwing Duck had Gizmo Duck as well. So there's two.
Exactly. Like
Darkwing Duck.
Whatever. Anyway, creators be crazy.
Maybe he doesn't want to admit they're together, but I'm sorry they're together. And you can even tell. Side by side, it's an older Launchpad. Mm-hmm. No, he's heavier set. He's older looking mm-hmm. than DuckTales.
Yep.
Which I love. I love that change. It was showing that it was a different timeline. I loved it.
Yep.
But DuckTales, I still watch this first, at least the first season, over and over and over again. I love it.
So I'm not going to – I mean, I guess you can kind of give your opinion on it if you want to, but I'm only going to ask you about the theme songs. Okay. So we all know the original.
Yeah.
And the original was done by a male singer.
Yeah.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery.
The new 2017 version was done by a female singer.
Yeah.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, airplanes. It's a Duckburg. Might solve the mystery. Hurry, write history.
Did you get overly excited or down or whatever? It's the same damn song. It's just not sung by a guy.
I didn't carry the way because I didn't watch the show. I watched the first episode to check it out because I want to be.
Okay.
I want to have mm-hmm. an opinion on it without not watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I hated the animation. I hated some of the voices.
Yeah.
I thought having Huey, Dewey, and Louie have those voices was just odd. But as a show, it was fun. At least I think I watched two episodes. It was fine.
Okay.
But I don't watch modern cartoons. So I just wanted to check it out so I can have an opinion on it. I didn't hate it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We're going to go to a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. And we will come back to close the show after this.
Stick with me, gang. I'm just getting warmed up.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts, TF2 and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host, Toon Master Tim. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of Mask, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast, from the universe and beyond.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Now back to Heathcliff.
All right, folks, we are back here on TuneCast episode 289. We're going to close it out. Tim, where can all the people find Saturday Morning Rewind?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. Glad to finally be
Absolutely.
On the show in a full episode. You can find my show, Saturday Morning Rewind, online at SaturdayMorningRewind.com. I think it's pretty much everywhere podcasts are, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, blah, 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 blah. of course, all of our shows, so my all my links are on the website, my Facebook, Twitter. But if you want to find us, it is at Saturday Rewind on Instagram. And I'd really appreciate it if you check it out.
Absolutely. All right, Toonsters, that's going to do it for us, and we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching things, Apple, Spotify, etc., etc., etc. Follow us on Twitter @GCR and Tooncast and @ToonCastBeyond for the show. Also @GeekCastRadio for the network. I am @TFG1Mike. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Tooncast All Tunes all the time over there as well. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you will join us next time when we will be getting the origins in cartoon watching from none other than Tim Nidell.
Oh, that's me.
Yes, that's you.
Okay.
For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Tim Nidell.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
Weird. That was fun.